quick word of prayer. Dear God, we commit the sermon to you. Speak to us through your word. Fill me with your spirit. Draw us closer to you as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever got an invitation to something, and maybe it was something special, and you were really excited about it? You're like, wow, I got invited to this. It could be to do something special or to attend to some special event. And you got it and you looked at it and you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, I got invited to this. I didn't know I'd get invited, but this is pretty good. Maybe something even out of the blue. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about an invitation, a special invitation that we have from the Lord Jesus. And you know what that invitation is? It's an invitation to pray. It's a special invitation to pray. Now, I thought that it would probably be appropriate, since this is a Bible study prayer meeting, to talk about prayer. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Title of the message, An Invitation to Pray. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Just three verses, all right? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. If you'd turn there in your Bibles, that would be great. An invitation to pray. Now, we had women's mission and men's fellowship last night, and Tim and I, we looked at verses 12 and 13. And I'm going to go ahead and back up and read there in verses 12 and 13, but we're going to be looking at 14, 15, and 16. So if you would, follow along. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4. Did I say the wrong thing? I can always tell when I say something wrong, and everybody's like, "Digging, where are you, preacher?" But anyway, Hebrews 4, 12. Then verse 13 is where we're at now. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, I'll pause right there, just kind of in the way of setting the context here. In verse 12 of this Hebrews chapter 4, it's talking about the Word of God. And that's what we talked about in men's fellowship. Tim and I talked about a little bit, how the Word of God is quick or alive and it's powerful. It can work in our hearts and lives. How that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It actually, it says at the latter part of that verse, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we read God's Word, it's alive, it can change us, and it shows us what we're really like. God knows us better than we do. And so when we read God's Word, sometimes we may think we're doing really good. You know, I got all the right motivation, and we read something, it's like, no, I don't. God's showing me that I have a bad attitude, or God's showing me I'm not doing it for the right reason, because He knows us better than we do. So we're talking about the Word of God. Then verse 13, it talks about God knows us better than we know ourselves. It says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So, as I said, God knows us better than we do. So it's talking about the Word of God. God really knows us. And then the verses we're going to look at tonight. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I mean, this is like, wow. I mean, even if you're half asleep as a Christian tonight, that's like, wow, that's pretty impressive. God wants us to go to prayer. And we have a high priest. Now, you say, what was the purpose? Now, just generally speaking, all right, a high priest was someone in the Old Testament, in the temple setting and all, that went before the people, between the people and God Himself. Now, I'm thankful that we got a whole lot better than some human high priest. We have Jesus Christ as our high priest, the one that goes between us and our prayers and God the Father. Now, when we're praying, now specifically, we are praying to God the Father. But you see, you also got the other two parts of the Trinity that's making intercession for us. There's different passages of Scripture that talk about that Jesus is our intercessor, God the Son, and it also talks about the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So we have the other two parts of the Trinity. We're praying to God the Father, but God the Son is our intercessor. We got God the Holy Spirit is also interceding for us, and it specifically calls Jesus our great high priest. You know, when we think about the gift that we have of prayer, and as I looked at it, verses 12 and 13, we have the wonderful gift of God's Word. Wow! Can you imagine where we'd be without the Word of God? But then you get into verses 14, 15, and 16, and we have the wonderful gift that we can talk to God the Father through our great high priest Jesus, and he hears us, he invites our prayers, and he wants to hear what we got to say. He wants to hear what concerns we have. Tonight, an invitation to pray. First of all, I want to look at Jesus. What does it say about Jesus in this passage of Scripture? Well, first of all, it calls him, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now, who do you think that's talking to? The book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrew what? Hebrew Christians, right? So if you know Jesus as your Savior, guess what? We have right now a great high priest. And he's not just high priest. He is a great high priest. Would y'all smile at me? Just smile, but it's just a little bit. We have a great high priest. And you say, well, what makes Jesus so great? Well, if you could, it's beyond my comprehension to give all the reasons that Jesus is great. But why is he a great high priest in particular in this passage if we look at it? Notice what it says about him. He's great because he's passed into the heavens. Do you know where Jesus is right now? He is at the right hand of the Father. You know, he came to this earth. We celebrate Christmas. Still got a few decorations up around here, don't we? We celebrate Christmas, Jesus coming to be one of us. But guess where he passed after he resurrected back to life and spent time on the earth showing himself as the resurrected Savior? He went back through the heavens back to the third heaven, the heaven, the abode of God, right? So that's one thing that makes him great. He's on the right hand of God the Father. What else makes him great? Well, just look at his name. It says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Do you know what Jesus means? It means Yahweh is salvation. Or in other words, the Lord is salvation. I don't know about you, but if you know Jesus as your Savior, that would rank right up there. One thing that makes Jesus great is because he's our Savior. That's one thing that makes him a great high priest because he allowed me access to get to heaven. So I'm thankful for that. What else makes him great or a great high priest? It says Jesus, then it says the Son of God. You know, there's a lot of people that think Jesus was just a good guy. You know, and you're right as far as that goes. He absolutely was a good guy. Some people say, well, he was a good example. And as far as it goes, you're right. He is a good example. He's a good guy. He's a good example. But you know what? It goes a whole lot further than that. When Jesus came to this earth, I know it's mind-blowing to think about this, but he is the very Son of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's the only begotten Son of God. That's one thing that makes him a great high priest. He's passed into the heavens. He's in the very abode of God. Jesus means Yahweh is salvation. He is the Son of God. And notice how it describes where we go with our prayers. Notice what it says. It says, let us therefore come boldly, verse 16, unto the throne of grace. It didn't say the stool of grace. It didn't say the bench of grace. It says the throne of grace. Why is that? Because Jesus is sovereign, right? He's in charge. He is in control. I'm thankful that Jesus is indeed the great high priest. He's not just an average. Yeah, a lot of times the things we do, you know, people would rate us. They'd say, well, he's all right. You know, well, how do you think I did? And you really want me to tell you? But let me relate to you in particular. Jesus is great. And he is a great high priest. He's a great go-between between man and God the Father. So, Jesus, great high priest. Notice something else about this Jesus. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now, this puts it in the negative. It says that in the negative, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So really, what does that say? Jesus is a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know, when I see Jesus and I look at his ministry on the earth, I believe he was the most compassionate person that's ever lived. You know, we might get moved every once in a while. You know, we might see a commercial or see someone that's down and out as we drive around the streets of Clarksburg. We might have a little bit like, yeah, okay, I really feel sorry for them. But, you know, Jesus was the kind of person, fully God, fully man, 100%, 100%. You say, preach, that's 200%. I know that, but God can do that. He was fully God, fully man, but he had such a compassion for people. I mean, he cared about people. I mean, we cannot care about people too much. And you see, that kind of Savior that we have is our great high priest. And since he has that kind of compassion, it tells me one thing about this Jesus. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I mean, God did not have to give us a high priest like that. He did not have to give us a great high priest like that. Do you know that if it concerns us, it concerns our Savior? I mean, sometimes people, we may get into this a little bit later too, but sometimes people are like, I just don't know if I should bother the Lord with this concern that I have or this problem that I have. I'm telling you, anything that concerns you concerns our Lord. So, I'm glad that I have that kind of high priest that's on the right hand of God the Father, and it's God himself, but intercedes between me and God the Father. He's like, wow, I feel that. You know, I know what you're feeling there. I know what you're going through, and it touches me too. I mean, sometimes we go through things in life that maybe the people around us may not know we're really going through. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe the ones closest to us at times might, but you know, the people maybe at church, we come here, we're, you know, I'm fine. Yeah, how you doing? I'm good. You know, we do a lot of lying in church sometimes. How are you doing? I'm doing good. Yep, doing good. Mm-hmm. And inside you're like, I'm not really doing good. You know, I'm not overly critical of that, because I think we've probably all done that sometimes. But you know what? With God, he knows exactly how we feel. And with Jesus, our high priest, he knows exactly how we feel. We can be honest with him. And if we're hurting, guess what? He wants to hear us. He is touched whenever we're hurting. And that ought to make us almost shout the hallelujah chorus or sing the hallelujah chorus, because we have that kind of great high priest. He is great. He's on the right hand of the Father. His name even means Yahweh is salvation. He is the Son of God. He has a throne. He's part of the throne there. He's on the throne in heaven. It means his sovereignty. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And notice what else about this Jesus. It says, not only which cannot be touched, he is not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. You know, when we go through our high priest Jesus to God the Father, and we go to him, and sometimes we might go to him and say, you know, just want to tell you how sorry I am. I have failed you. I have sinned against you. You know, there's an understanding through our great high priest of what that is like. Because he was tempted. And we're going to get to the next point of that here in just a moment. But he was tempted like as we are. You see, he chose to be one of us. Emmanuel, right? God with us. And since he did that, now, do you remember the temptations specifically that are spelled out in Scripture, the temptations of the devil? Now, we have those, but don't you think there was other times throughout his ministry that the devil tempted him? And remember, he was 100% God and 100% man. He was tempted to do wrong? He understands it when we are tempted. He understands us. Now, he never sinned, but he understands what we go through when we are tempted. I don't know about you, but the one that I would want going between me and God the Father when I pray is someone who understands me. Now, again, he doesn't excuse sin, and it's not an easy out and say, well, he understands me. You know, that's why I got drunk the other night. Well, he understands me. That's why I had an immoral relationship. No, I'm not saying that at all. But he does understand what it's like to be tempted to do wrong. He's a sympathetic high priest. But then, again, Jesus, not only is he the great high priest, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted as we are. But notice it says three little words there in verse 15. He was tempted, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He never gave in to sin one time. Now, that is really crucial. I mean, that's huge. See, if Jesus had sinned one time when he was tempted, when he died upon the cross, he would have been paying for his sin. But since he never sinned, he was the sinless Son of God. And when he died upon the cross, he could pay for our sins. See, that's a huge point. Tonight, we're looking at an invitation to pray. First of all, we looked at Jesus. And boy, he's a wonderful Savior. Boy, he's a great high priest. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's passed into the heavens, all the way to the third heaven where the abode of God is. His very name means Yahweh is salvation, and I'm thankful for the salvation he provided by his death on the cross and his resurrection. He is the Son of God. It mentions his throne. He has sovereignty. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted as we are, yet without sin. What should our response to that be? Well, it's found right here in Scripture. Having a high priest like that, it says in verse 14, the latter part of the verse, let us hold fast our profession. He said, preacher, preacher, preacher. We have to hold on to our salvation? I'm thankful. I'll tell you this right now. I'm thankful that my salvation I'm thankful that our salvation does not, and my salvation does not, depend upon me keeping myself saved. Whew, I'd be in a mess if I had to keep it together. What is saying? Hold fast to that which you believe. Hold fast to what you profess that you believe. Boy, what we need today is a bunch of Christians that are holding fast to what they believe instead of the folks that are on again, off again, on again, off again for the Lord. Now, only the Lord knows some of them whether they're truly saved or not, but he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about hold fast to that which you believe, that which you know is right, because we have such a high priest. I mean, if we had some old wimpy Savior, we'd say, you can abandon him if you want to, or you can just kind of do your own thing if you want. No, but look at the type of Jesus we serve. Look at the type of Savior that God provided. Our response ought to be, you know what, I'm going to hold on to what I believe even tighter and what God wants me to do even tighter. And I'm going to be a witness to everyone even more. Let us hold fast our profession. That's response number one. Response number two to having Jesus, this great high priest like we have, Notice what it says. Verse 16, let us therefore come. Come. Come to him. You know, as a child of God, God wants us to come to him in prayer through Jesus, our great high priest. You know, I can kind of relate to that. You know, one of the highlights of our days is when the phone rings, and guess what? I look at it, and it's Jason or Ryan. And they're on, you know, totally different schedules. One's a junior, one's a freshman, and now they're in different dorms. They're not roommates like they have been. And so they don't necessarily call together very often. So I you know, look down. I mean, really, when the phone rings, can't you say amen? Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's one of the boys calling. And we talk to them usually at least once a day, typically, but sometimes more than that. Not for long, usually, but we say a little bit and pray with them a little bit. That's a highlight. Because why is that? Well, in my case, I'm the daddy, and the son is talking to me. And I welcome that. Come, call me. It's very similar to our Heavenly Father. He wants his children to call him. Our response, hold fast our profession. Hold fast to what we believe. And it says, come. It says, come. Let us therefore come. But the second word there, it says, boldly. Come boldly. You know, I'm thinking about what exactly does it mean to be bold with something? You know, you don't have reservations. You know, when you go to God, I mean, it's fine to pray. I mean, don't misunderstand me. He is God. And we don't, sometimes we should not treat him in our heart and in our words as like some weakling or something. You know what I mean? We don't need to come to him and pretend like we're equals with God. You know, we need to respect him in prayer. But can I say, the Bible tells us we can come to him boldly, with confidence, without reservation. You know, it's like, should I talk to him about that? Absolutely. Should you pray about that? Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we can come to him too much. You know, I don't think God has this huge counter up there. You know, it's like, well, my goodness gracious. That Larry Sayer, he's done prayed to me 16 times today. I'm going to have a talk with that boy. I tell you what, he's bothering me. I'm such a busy God. He's really, I don't think that happens at all, do you? I think he's like, well, praise the Lord. Larry's called me 16 times today and asked me about something. And I don't care if it gets to be 1,000 times or continually. You know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing even, right? I don't think we can bother God in the least by coming to him through Jesus, the high priest. Do y'all? I don't think we can. It says, come with boldness. Come with boldness. You know, you speak of confidence. Do you have confidence that God can do anything? I think we need to come to him with that confidence that he wants to hear us, that he can do anything. That's confidence in God. That's boldness before God. So our response, first of all, hold on to what we believe because we have that kind of great high priest. We need to come to him. Specifically, we need to come to him with boldness or confidence. But why do we do that? Well, it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our response should be to go to God and say, God, I need your mercy. God, I need your grace. As we go through our great high priest, Jesus. An invitation to pray. Jesus is a great high priest. I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm sure you are too. Our response, again, hold fast our profession. Come to him. Come to him with boldness or confidence to obtain mercy and grace. So point number three. So when should we pray? That's why I didn't comment a whole lot on that last point because I wanted to hit it here. So when should we pray? Well, can I say anytime. Anytime. Have you ever woke up in the night and something's bothering you, and you're like, well, I don't else up because any normal person is sleeping right now. But this has really bothered me. Can you talk to God at times like that? Absolutely. I think probably some of our most meaningful prayers occur at night when we're sleeping and wake up and something's bothering us, or maybe we're not sleeping because something is bothering us, and we go before God and say, God, I need you. So when should we pray? Anytime. Anytime. There's really not a bad time. You say, well, preacher, I'm on the road a lot. Can I pray while I drive? Well, the drivers I've seen lately, you better be praying a lot as you're driving. But absolutely, or whatever task you're doing. I mean, I really think the idea of praying without ceasing is the idea of praying to the Lord. Have a continual connection there. I mean, we don't want to go days without talking to the Lord. And, you know, like a lot of people, unfortunately, are like that, even as Christians. You know, they don't really consult the Lord. I want to be so close to Him that I can generate a prayer just like that. Like, Lord, help me. And in essence, we'll understand it as humans. That's not the way God works. But God, now, who is that? Oh, I mean, God knows everything. But I want to be in such a close connection with Him that it's a continual connection. You understand? That's the kind of life I want to live, so that all during the day, it's not just when I pray down my specific prayer list, but I have a continual connection with the Lord. And when I say, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you now. Lord, please. And it's just a sweet, continual communication between a child and his heavenly Father through that great high priest that is Jesus. So when should we pray? Anytime. Specifically, it says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we need mercy and grace. when we need mercy. Now, mercy is not giving us what we deserve. And, you know, I like the parable that Jesus taught about the Pharisee. I believe he called him a Pharisee in particular, that stood on the street corner and called out to God and shouted and said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like all these other sinners. Now, this is a Steve DeLay really rough paraphrase. But then he says, the publican, who's a tax collector, who was the hated one among the bunch, said he wouldn't even so much as look into heaven, but he called out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, I don't know about you, but I fail God. I'm still a sinner, and I'll be a sinner as long as I'm in this flesh. I need God's mercy. And when I call out to Him in mercy, that's perfectly fine, because I'm supposed to pray to Him for mercy. Lord, please don't give me what I deserve. Forgive me for that sin. Forgive me for failing you. There's many times we need mercy, and that is, again, not justifying what we do. So, well, God's going to give me mercy. I mean, that's, if you got that attitude, you're totally backwards. We should not want to sin, but when we do sin, we have a high priest that we can go through, our great high priest, to go to the Father, and we can ask for His mercy. But then it says grace. Now, grace is unmerited favor. You might even call it, it wouldn't be too much of a stretch to say that grace is blessings, right? Do y'all like blessings? Do you like God's grace? Absolutely. We've been shown God's grace ultimately in salvation, but you know, I don't believe there's anything wrong in going before God, and when we need something, say, God, I need this. Can you bless me with your grace in this area? Nobody here needs anything ever? I think, just give me a little nod. Now, don't get too excited. They'll think we're Pentecostal. Just give me a little nod if you ever need God's grace. Okay. So, when should we pray? Anytime. When we need mercy, when we failed Him. When we need grace and His blessings upon us, when we have those needs. And it says specifically that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh boy. There's a lot of times we're in need, isn't there? it just seems like something gets fixed and something else gets broke. And I'm not talking mechanically. Right? I mean, we get maybe one thing in our life straightened out, then we struggle with something else. Or God answers that prayer and everything's good, but then the next problem's just waiting down the pike. And we need Him. So when we need His help, we're supposed to go through our great high priest Jesus to the Father in prayer. I'm thankful that I can go to Him anytime. How about you? Tonight, an invitation to pray. We looked at Jesus. He is our great high priest. He's the right hand of the Father. His name means Yahweh is salvation, and I'm thankful for that. That makes Him great. He is the Son of God. He has sovereign rule. It talks about the throne of grace. He can be touched with our feelings, with our feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted as we are, but yet sinless. So I'm thankful we have that kind of great high priest. Our response ought to be, you know what? I'm going to hold on to what I believe. And there's going to be a seriousness about my life and about my testimony and about my service, because I'm holding on to that because God has blessed me with such a great high priest as Jesus. And I'm going to come to Him, and I'm going to come to Him with confidence and boldness so that I may obtain mercy and grace. And I can pray anytime. When I need mercy, when I need grace, and when I need help. I'm thankful, once again, that I have that kind of God, that I have that kind of great high priest, that I have the intercessors that I have, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Tonight, let me ask you, how do you look at prayer? How do you look at prayer? I hope that tonight, as looking at this passage of Scripture, that we realize that our Father wants to hear us. Wants to hear us. He wants us to come to Him for mercy. He wants us to come to Him for grace and blessing and when we need help. Don't ever, ever, ever think that you're bothering God when you pray. You can talk to God continually for 10,000 years and He'd say, glad to hear from you. Glad to hear from you. I know one thing with our boys, whenever we talk to them, we try to make it a point when we talk to them because we know how busy they are. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling us and letting us talk to you for a little bit. Really, God has that same attitude. He wants to hear from us. When we go to Him in prayer, we're saying, I can't do this on my own. You are my God and I need your help. And that brings praise and honor and blessing to our Heavenly Father because we're coming to Him. We asked the beginning, have you ever got a special invitation? Well, tonight we looked at that special invitation. That special invitation is to go to God the Father through our great high priest Jesus anytime we need Him. Anytime we need Him. I don't know of a better invitation than that, do you? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. You know, we have a wonderful, wonderful blessing called prayer. Let me ask you. Now there's time to go to Him for help and for mercy and for grace and all that time. But you know, it's really good when we spend a little concentrated time talking to the Father too. Through our great high priest Jesus. How is your prayer life, I guess I might ask? It's perfectly fine to go through Him 1,000 times a day. It's perfectly fine to call out to Him when we in a moment of need, absolutely. But you know, really, the more we pray to our Father, the more we become more like our Heavenly Father. The Word of God is Him speaking to us. Prayer is us speaking to Him. How is your prayer life? I really think every one of us ought to have a dedicated time of prayer with the Lord. And it ought to be sweet. It ought not be, oh, preacher said I'm supposed to do this. It ought to be like, Lord, I want to talk to you. Because I know He wants to talk to us. He wants to hear our prayer, but we ought to want to talk to Him. How is your prayer life? Beyond your wants and your needs, beyond the mercy that you ask Him for? Do you just spend time in prayer talking to Him? Letting Him talk to you through the Word and then talking to Him in prayer. Let me ask you, could you do or should you be spending more time in prayer? On your knees before the Father. If so, if God is speaking to your heart right now about that, would you just say, Lord, forgive me for not praying and talking to you more, and help me. Help me, Lord, to talk to you more in prayer. Because you want to hear from me, and I need it. Lord, help me to talk to you more in prayer. Would you just offer that simple prayer if you mean it from your heart? Lord, help me to spend more time in prayer, talking to you, Heavenly Father. God's people said,